Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The big news this week is Ukraine Gate. Back on July 25th, President Trump had a phone call with the president of Ukraine, asking him to look into the Russian collusion story and Joe Biden and his son's corrupt dealings with a Ukrainian gas company. Now, to begin with, why spend time on this? Because God is always teaching his people through these world events. Here's just one of many texts to point this out. The historical event of the Israelites in their wanderings on the Sinai Peninsula, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Now, these things happened as an example for us. In verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Well, even Ukraine Gate is an event that is ordained by God for our sanctification, for our protection, for our learning, for our evangelism. So let's review the situation. Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was being paid $50,000 a month by a Ukrainian gas company for consulting services. And Hunter Biden knows nothing about gas and oil. He was clearly getting paid $50,000 a month so that the company could have an influence on Biden and the Obama administration. It was pay to play. Back in 2014, the press actually asked Obama's press secretary, Josh Earnest, about the conflict of interest in Hunter Biden being on the board of this Ukrainian gas company. And Josh Earnest hemmed and hawed and never answered the question. Whether the $50,000 a month given to Hunter Biden affected Joe Biden's judgment toward the Ukrainians or this company is really hard to prove. Biden said he never talked to his son about the whole thing, but Biden is holding a smoking gun. In 2018, Biden was speaking at an event sponsored by Foreign Affairs, and Biden boasted that he told the Ukrainian officials and the Ukrainian president that if they did not remove their lead state prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, that the United States would withhold $1 billion in loan guarantees. So here's what Biden said. I'm not going to, or we're not going to, give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was about 6 hours. I looked at them and I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, he got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at that time. So why did Joseph Biden want the chief prosecutor fired? And why would Biden jump on this issue? I mean, it's not as if this is a usual job for the vice president of the United States to go around the world asking countries to fire their internal prosecutors. Well, those on the left say it was because Viktor Shokin was a corrupt person. But it just so happens that Viktor Shokin was investigating this gas company and its payments to Hunter Biden. Coincidence or not, it looks bad for Biden. Vice President Biden was using the threat of removing foreign aid to get a prosecutor fired who was investigating his son. And this is called quid pro quo, meaning favors or advantage granted in expectation of something in return. And it's against the law to use federal money or influence for personal gain or legal protection. This week, President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, showed a signed affidavit from Viktor Shokin that stated that Shokin was fired for investigating Hunter Biden. Quote, I was forced out because I was leading a wide-range corruption probe into Burisma Holdings, a natural gas firm active in Ukraine, and Joe Biden's son Hunter was a member of the board of directors. And so here is what President Trump said in his telephone call to the Ukrainian president. There's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general, that would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into that, it sounds horrible to me. So Trump is being accused of criminal behavior for looking into the corruption of Joe Biden's criminal behavior. Just because someone is running for office, even your opponent, doesn't shield him from a corruption investigation. But the situation with Biden and his son was not the only concern of Trump in this phone conversation. The main point was for the president of the Ukraine to cooperate with the president's lawyers and others in the administration in looking into the origins of this accusation against Donald Trump regarding his collusion with Russia to win the 2016 election. After the Mueller report exonerated Trump from the Democrats' false accusation of Russian collusion, Trump's attorney general, William Barr, started looking into who fabricated the evidence, who fabricated the accusations for political gain. And on that phone call with the president of Ukraine, Trump also asked him to investigate CrowdStrike. Quote from the phone call, "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. There are lots of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the attorney general call you and your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, the whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance, but they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it if that is possible." CrowdStrike is a huge cybersecurity company. When the DNC server was hacked during the election, the DNC did not have their computers handed over to the FBI for analysis. They hired this private firm called CrowdStrike to investigate where the hacking came from. CrowdStrike determined that it came from Russia. The proof that the Russians hacked the DNC comes from a firm hired by the DNC. And everyone assumes it's Russia that tampered in the 2016 election because the Democrats say so. However, the founder of CrowdStrike is a Russian emigre who hates Putin. And in the past, CrowdStrike has made false claims in regard to Russian hacking. And it's very convenient for the DNC to be able to claim that the Russians hacked their server and then go on and connect Trump to Russia, when the hacking could have come from many other Eastern European countries. It could have come from someone in the West. So Trump is asking the president of the Ukraine to look into this whole Russian hacking claim and the influence peddling of Biden. Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, is defending this investigation into the origins of the Russian collusion, the DNC's dealing with Ukrainian actors, including Joe Biden and his son. And Giuliani is saying that this is all to defend his client, Donald Trump. This piece came out on Wednesday. Giuliani, pretty close to overwhelming evidence that Obama ordered Hillary, Democrats, to dig up dirt in Ukraine on then-candidate Donald Trump. Quote, Trump's lawyer and former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani suggested on Monday night that there was serious evidence that the Obama White House directed Democrats to work with Ukraine to dig up dirt on then-candidate Donald Trump. And then Giuliani said, "The reason why the President of the United States had an obligation to ask the President of Ukraine to follow up on these allegations, because there is substantial, and I don't want to exaggerate, but pretty close to overwhelming evidence, including a finding by a Ukrainian court, that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats cooperated with Ukrainians, with the order coming directly from the White House to dig up dirt on her political opponent, and they did. In this case, Biden sold his office for millions. Is there anybody that believes that Ukraine or China were paying for Hunter Biden's expertise? Or do you have the common sense to realize they were buying Joe Biden's office? And that is very damaging to the United States. Joe Biden was sent to Ukraine to in part deal with corruption, and he helped to corrupt the Ukraine. He is a laughingstock. We are a laughingstock because we talk about corruption, and this guy puts his incompetent son to work for the most crooked oligarch in Russia. I mean, this is outrageous. The only really sad part is how much in the tank and how corrupt this media has become. They have corruption staring them in the face, and they close their eyes to it, and then they make up charges against President Trump that aren't true. They don't look at this whistleblower. He is giving them hearsay evidence. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. Biden's corruption helped to cover up all of the allegations of collusion because there was a company involved run by George Soros, which was involved in the investigation. And that was closed down to cut off all of the proof, the additional proof of just how far the Democrats went in corrupting the 2016 election and in corrupting the Ukraine. So for 3 years, the Democrats have been accusing President Trump of colluding with the Russians to influence the elections. And now Giuliani is finding evidence that the DNC actually colluded with a foreign country to influence the elections. Giuliani is not going after this case like the news media. He's building a legal case that's having many Democrats worried. And many pundits believe that the whistleblower's accusations against President Trump were orchestrated by Democrats as a way to fight back against the administration's investigation of them. At first, I doubted that claim, but as more information comes in, it looks like the whistleblower was a Democrat plant. There are just too many things that look suspicious, but that's a subject for another time. As it stands right now, the Democrats are accusing the president of colluding with the Ukrainians to find out dirt on his political opponent. And they think that they can make a case to impeach the president on this. And the Republicans and the administration are saying no, they were legally investigating the corruption of the DNC. Rudy Giuliani is saying that he is the actual whistleblower of Democrat corruption. And the Democrats don't want this story to come out. So did you get all that? I'm recording this program on Monday. It's going to be aired this coming weekend. And who knows what will be revealed over the next few days. But that's the short of it. But what's the spiritual lesson in all this? Well, as a side note, as a sub-theme, let me just mention Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Since the election of Donald Trump, the Democrats have banded together to resist at all costs, to create constant negative news against the president for the next 4 years, to make it look like it's one scandal after another, to find anything they can to impeach the president. And so even before the facts came out concerning Ukraine Gate, the Democrats were reporting that it was all over for the president, that they have the smoking gun to impeach the president, and it turns out to be nothing. And in the end, it makes the Democrats look foolish and vindictive and petty. Hence, Proverbs 25:8 applies. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? And also consider 2 Samuel chapter 2. After David came to power, the former general of King Saul, Abner, was bitter, and he challenged David's general Joab and his men to a fight. Abner was sure he could defeat Joab and his men, But Abner overestimated his resources, and he was shamed and defeated. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. That day the battle was very severe, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. And so, as in the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 14, a king, before he goes to battle, needs to estimate whether or not he can win. Verse 31, or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will he not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Well, the Democrats overestimated their evidence. The Democrats got too far out in front of their skis, as the old saying goes. Even before the transcript of Trump's conversation with the Ukrainian president was released, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, started impeachment proceedings because she was sure that she could get him this time. So that is the sub-lesson, Proverbs 25:8. But here's what I believe is the main lesson. When you have an agenda or an ideology, you see everything the way you want to see it rather than the truth. This is an example of the blinding power of ideological bias, especially when it's a false bias motivated by hatred and ambition. Like Haman in the Old Testament book of Esther, Haman was sure that when King Ahasuerus was wanting to honor someone, that the king was talking about him. And so he suggested that the king do all sorts of good things for this person. Then the king said to Haman, you know, that's a good idea. Do this for Mordecai. And Mordecai was a Jew that Haman hated. And then Haman builds a gallows upon which to hang Mordecai. And by the end of the story, Haman is hanging on the very gallows he built to hang Mordecai. Does this sound familiar? All this is in the Bible for a good reason. Ideological bias that blinds is such a common condition in law centers. This very attack on Donald Trump is exposing the corruption of Joe Biden and probably end Biden's run for the presidency. The public is expecting Joe Biden to at least say, yes, it was wrong for my son to receive this money. But instead, he's accusing the president of corruption for investigating his son's corruption. Rather than some humility, Biden is blinded by his hatred and ambition. Last week, the perfect example of how ideological bias skews our interpretation of events was seen in Adam Schiff. He made a statement at the House Intelligence Committee. Schiff, this Democratic congressman from California, completely fabricated a new version of the president's phone conversation with the president of the Ukraine. Schiff was attempting to give a parody of what he believed the president was saying to the Ukrainian president. Schiff said that the phone conversation read like an organized crime shakedown. He said, Trump said, I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent. Understand lots of it on this and on that. I'm going to put you in touch with people, and not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with the Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him, and I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy Giuliani. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking? So I'm only going to say this a few more times in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I've asked. What Schiff said was so bizarre and so unprofessional. You have to wonder if there's some delusional thinking here. Schiff wants everyone to see Trump's conversation the way he superimposes his ideas upon the president. So he made up a whole new phone conversation. And that is the power of ideological bias. You see only what you want to see. This is what we do when we have an agenda. We actually think and hear words that are not actually being said. We do this against our fellow man. We do this against God. You know, as the old saying goes, love is blind, but hatred has 1,000 eyes. When you're filled with hatred, you become an unjust fault finder, Jude 16. You become arrogant. You make up things to suit your own conclusions. If you hate God and you visit a church, you're going to look for and find everything wrong with that church. You're going to say, well, the people didn't shake my hand enough. The people look so sad. The paint was chipping on the wall. But if you're seeking God and you love God, you're going to see everything as wonderful. Bill Maher, the political pundit who is nowhere near the political right, surprised everyone this last weekend by calling out the Democrats' hypocrisy in their handling of the Ukraine case. Maher said on his program that if one of Donald Trump's children were receiving $50,000 a month in pay-to-play money from a Ukrainian oligarch, you would be sure that the story would be all about the corruption in Trump's family, not about the people trying to unearth the corruption. But when Biden's son receives $50,000 a month in pay-to-play money, the story is all about how wrong it is of Trump to look into Biden's corruption. Bill Maher said, quote, if Don Jr. did this rather than Hunter Biden, it would be all Rachel Maddow would be talking about, unquote. And furthermore, think about the timeline over the last 3 years. The Democrats have had no problem in using the government to do opposition research on their political opponent, to look for corruption. The intelligence community planted spies in Trump's campaign and started an investigation to see if they could accuse him of colluding with the Russians. But when Donald Trump asked the Ukrainians to look into the corruption of Hunter Biden, that becomes a terrible, heinous crime. That's something the media can't stop talking about. The double standard that comes from ideological bias is absolutely amazing. And this is one of the major themes of the Gospels. The leadership of Israel misinterpreted and twisted everything Jesus said because they hated him. They hated his authority. They hated his values. So even when he healed the sick, they said that he must be doing this by the power of demons. Now, not to say that Donald Trump is like Jesus, but there's been this trope circulating on the internet that says if Donald Trump walked on water, the media would accuse him of not being able to swim. This bias is such an important spiritual lesson that Jesus explained it to the people using an illustration. The illustration of the children in the marketplace. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to other children and say, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Since the leadership of Israel, the people, had no desire and love for the Messiah, they were not interested in a person coming to save them from their sin, they found a pretext to accuse Jesus and the prophet John. But these accusations were proven to be pretexts because they contradicted each other. The very thing they found objectionable in the prophet John, when Jesus did the opposite, they found that objectionable too. As the old saying goes, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. So the illustration Jesus uses, like children, they change the story concerning what they like or don't like to fit their preferred conclusions. No matter what song is being sung, they found fault. If you want to have some Bible study fun, try to find out what Jesus means by concluding with the statement, wisdom is justified by her children, or rather, wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Some believe that Jesus is saying that the works of John and his works justify the rightness of their actions. Who is right is according not to your personal preferences, but by their fruits you will know them. Or that phrase, wisdom is justified by her children, could have been a Jewish saying that meant people justify what they want to justify. The exact meaning of Jesus' concluding words here are still a mystery, but we still get the whole point of the parable, that people have biases that are corrupt, and their biases influence the way they see things, and they explain everything through their biases. This week there was a clip of Nancy Pelosi back in 1998 defending Bill Clinton against impeachment. All of the reasons she gave in 1998 for not impeaching Bill Clinton is now all of the reasons she is now using to impeach Trump. So the double standard is just so obvious it looks like a comedy routine. She even accuses the Republicans of being motivated by hatred of the president. But that certainly couldn't be why the Democrats are wanting to impeach Trump today. And it's interesting also to see how our words come back to haunt us. By our words we'll be justified, and by our words we'll be condemned. I believe it was Mark Twain who said something to the effect, there's nothing more corrupt than waiting until you find out which party someone belongs to before deciding whether his actions are good or bad. Why is that so corrupt? Well, because one is basing right and wrong not on God's objective moral standards, but basing right and wrong on whether something helps me. And that gets at the very core motive of man's rebellion against God. It's not God's holiness that matters. What matters is my own rightness, my own authority, my own power. It's a failure to put yourself under an authority outside of yourself, under the authority of God. It's a very satanic mindset. It's Isaiah chapter 14. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I am the standard. In Satan's kingdom, right and wrong become what you want right and wrong to be. If you don't like the Messiah because he speaks against your choices, against your authority, well, he's wrong. He must be wrong. He has to be wrong. And to the cross he goes. So again, this whole news story, this whole human event ordained by God is just another example of how we twist and suppress the truth based upon our worldview, based upon our political party affiliation, based upon our ideology, our power. We think we're very objective, but we're not. What we do is we first decide what we want to believe, and then we go around and try to find facts to support it. So quickly in closing, if there is such blinding power in ideological bias, how can anyone know whether he's right? How do you know whether or not you're kidding yourself, blinded by your own biases? Could not the political right be just as blind in their ideological bias as the left? Could not the Christian be just as blinded by religious fanaticism as the evolutionary atheistic Darwinist? Well, relativists use this argument to claim that there's no moral absolutes, that there is no truth. You can just make up your own truth. But there is objective truth. And the only way to know it is by receiving a truth from outside of yourself. That is objective, pure truth found in the revelation of God's word. And we believe in the perspicuity of Scripture, that the Bible is clear to anyone who honestly reads it for what it is. The Apostle Paul was accused of being in the wrong, of being ideologically biased in his teachings. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, he responds, "For I'm conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord." So here Paul is stating that the standard cannot be oneself, because we can be fooled by our own biases. The standard has to be the Lord. And practically, that means looking at the clear moral mandates given to us in Scripture. If you're breaking God's moral law in your behavior, in your policy, in your party platform, then you are in the wrong. You are living a delusional fantasy, even if you think you're righteous. If you're killing babies in the womb, if you are supporting sexual perversion, you are the evil person that the Bible speaks against. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light. Or as Jesus said, for a little while longer and the light is among you. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness doesn't overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of the light. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. The contact information is on the closing slide. Don't forget to subscribe to support the cause. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. May God richly bless you as you continue to live by the Word of God.